All right, we'll get started this morning. It's good to see everyone. Good to see you all. We're going to be starting in chapter 10 in our Bible study, Discerning the Plight of Man. Before we do that, let's take some prayer requests, and we need to continue to pray for Donna Wilson. She is at home after going back to the hospital due to an infection that she received after her surgery about 2 weeks ago. So pray for Donna. She continues to heal from that infection. Pray for Robbie's stepsister. Robbie got a call from his mom stating that she was just not doing well at all and doesn't believe that she will be able to be living much longer. So be praying for this that young lady. Gary Dallas's cousin, 35 years old, also has cancer. Anybody else? Yes.
Keep the Rick Bray family out of Carlisle. He's in hospice. Just got a few hours left.
Okay. Pray for the Rick Bray family. He's on hospice care. All right. No one else has any prayer requests. Steve, would you lead us into the Lord this morning? So we're looking at chapter 10, and the title of this particular chapter is Enslavement to Satan. Enslavement to Satan. And what we're going to be seeing in this chapter is that fallen man in his lost condition, is not only alienated from God, separated from God, but also the lost person is also united to Satan in his hostility toward God and his rebellion against God. Now, we have seen that Adam was in the Garden of Eden, was free to obey God, and he was free to exercise dominion over all the earth. God gave him dominion. Adam was able to take care of the garden. Adam was given the privilege of naming all of the animals. He had a lot of privilege, but because of his rebellion against God, both he and his race, all those who came after Adam, fell into corruption and slavery. So again, don't miss that fact that at one time, Adam had dominion over all things on this earth. Everything. God gave that to him. And again, since the fall, every son and daughter of Adam is born into bondage to sin and enslaved to Satan. Now, the average lost person would never at all agree to that statement. If you were to say to a lost person, hey, you are a slave of Satan. I say, what are you talking about? No one owns me. No one tells me what to do. I live my own life. And we're going to see why a lost person does not see this and does not know that they are actually a slave of Satan. But the Scripture tells us over and over again that all men are born under his dominion, and they're held captive by him to do his will. Now, when Adam Again, at the beginning of the Garden of Eden, he had all dominion given unto him to subdue the earth, to name all of the animals, to take care of the garden. He had dominion, but when Adam fell, that dominion shifted. That sphere of domain shifted from Adam to who? Satan. Satan himself. And so because of that, where every person is born under his dominion and held captive by him to do his will. Now, if a person is held captive, we would say that that person is enslaved, right? But you say, hold on a second, that term enslavement, that must mean, therefore, that man is a victim. Or he is being held as a slave against his will, but that's not true at all. We must understand that what this lesson reveals is that man is not a victim, and man is not held against his will. Fallen man is fully responsible in their own rejection of the rule of God, and have given themselves over to the rule of Satan. So fallen man is responsible. So let's look at this rule of Satan as we think about the enslavement of Satan. If we're going to be enslaved, that means that the person who has enslaved us has rule over us. So let's look at the rule of Satan. And of course, when we talk about the rule of Satan, we must qualify what this means, right? Because if we're not careful, we can have this mindset that God and the devil are of equal powers, and they are somehow locked in some type of a cosmic struggle, and whoever wins will win the universe. But that's not at all what we have here. We must remember and must realize that Satan, as powerful as he is a created being. He is a finite creature whom God created and over whom God rules with absolute sovereignty. So this is not a battle of equal powers, of equal deities. No, not at all. Satan is a created being. And although Satan's rebellion against God is his own doing, it has been ordained and permitted by God for his own purposes and glory. Now, that statement right there, we could take an hour and speak about that. Of really how deep that statement is, that although Satan's rebellion against God is his own doing, yet that rebellion was ordained by God and it was permitted by God for God's own purposes and glory. And so without denying or diminishing the truth of God's absolute sovereignty, we can say that there is a very, very real sense in which this present fallen world and all those who are inhabitants of this world lie in the power of Satan himself. And we're going to see in Luke chapter number 4 that the scriptures testify to this fact. Notice in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5 how Satan makes a declaration about himself and his relationship to this fallen world. He says, and in verse 5, and he led Jesus up, and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me. And I give it to whomever I wish. Now, what does Satan declare here, and what does he mean when he says that I will give you all this domain and its glory? Well, Satan declared that the world was his, that the world, this present world, was his domain. And we notice a couple of things about this. First of all, we notice that Jesus did not combat his claim. Jesus did not contest the devil's claim, because there is a real sense in which Satan has dominion over this world. We can see that in just in how this world operates, correct? Secondly, Satan boasts. As he boasts, Satan states that this domain had what? It had been handed over to him. How was it handed over to him? We just discussed this. When was it handed over to him? The fall of man. It was handed over to Satan when Adam failed, when he sinned. That domain was handed over to Satan himself. And so the devil's rule, again, is both permitted by God, but it's also limited by God. And we are thankful for that. That the devil, you could say, is ruling this world, but he is ruling this world with a leash tied around his neck. He can only do so much. He can only do that which God has permitted him to do. And so again, it shows us that yes, Satan is the ruler of this world, but God is the ruler of the universe, including Satan himself, as he is a created being. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. It tells us about this truth. It says, we know that we are of God. Of course, John is writing to a group of Christians. He's writing to the church. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so the scripture declares that this fallen world and all of its inhabitants are held firmly in the devil's grip. And again, we are all born a slave to Satan, every one of us. We see in the scriptures a name is very important, and that it often communicates something about the person who bears it. So let's look at the various names that have been given to Satan in the scripture. Notice, first of all, we see Satan is the ruler of this world. He is the ruler of this world. We'll look at John chapter 12 and verse 31. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And so again, God is the absolute sovereign over all things. But there is a real sense in which dominion has been given to Satan to rule over this fallen world. And as Paul Washer states, with such a ruler in place, is there any wonder why this present age is filled with such evil and why fallen man suffers such misery? We have an evil ruler who is ruling this present world. Notice Satan is called not only the ruler of this world, but he's called the God of this world. The God of this world. And of course, that name God should be, it should not be capitalized. And we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so the God of this world is Satan himself. And again, that's little g. And we know that the Bible teaches that there is only one God, one true God. And if that's the case, why does Paul here refer to Satan as the God of this world? Well, Satan is called the God of this world only in the sense that he is working with the powers in this present evil age. Think about all the world leaders that are constantly plotting and doing things to bring about more evil upon this world. Why is that? Why are they coming together to plot evil? Well, because Satan is working with the power in this present evil age. He is instigating. He is trying to implement his plans through world leaders. I mean, we have this, and I don't think it's conspiracy theory, but we have this thought of we need to depopulate the world. The world is overpopulated, and we need to come up with some plan to depopulate it. Well, where does that come from? It comes from Satan himself. He's planting seeds into various world leaders so that they then implement various things that can cause many people to die. So when we understand that he is the God of this world, meaning that he has the power in this present evil age over world leaders, it helps us to understand why there is so much evil in this world. And that why fallen men have made him their God, even unbeknownst to them, and they live according to his will. And they obey the various things that he plants into their mind and heart. Notice also that Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. It says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now, what does this title mean, the prince of the power of the air? Well, it means that, and it's teaching this, that Satan is a spirit. He is not a material being like you and I are. And so therefore, he is unhindered by all of the material restraints that bind mankind today. And it tells us that his power and authority, therefore, go much farther than any earthbound prince. He is the prince of the power of the air. Both Satan and man, as we shall see, are fallen creatures, and as fallen creatures, they have so much in common. They are alike in their moral corruption, and they are alike in their enmity against God. Also, this fact is repulsive to most, but it is nevertheless the truth. When you tell someone who is lost that they are in actuality at enmity between God, they will say, no, are you crazy? I don't hate God. I'm not at enmity between God. But if you are lost, if you have never been saved, you are. Because you are in sin. You are clothed about your robes of your own self-righteousness, which is a stench to the holiness of God. There is such a moral likeness between fallen man and Satan that prior to our conversion, all men are considered to be not only Satan's subjects, but also his children. Now, that's certainly not what you want to tell somebody who's you're trying to witness to. Well, you're just a child of Satan. You probably won't get a foothold even speaking to him much longer. But that is how Scripture describes lost people, those who are fallen, those who are unsaved, that they are children of the devil. Notice in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that fallen man is a child of the devil. Fallen man is a child of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, "The one who practices sin is of the devil." Now, does that mean if I sin or you sin, that automatically that we're not saved, that we must be then the sons or daughters of Satan? No, that's not what he's talking about. The one who practices sin, the one who lives in habitual sin, whose lifestyle is sin, and they're not repentant of it. They're living in unrepentant sin, and it's not bothering them. They practice sin. The one who does this is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who was born of God practices sin. Again, lives in continual sin. If you're born of God, you're going to sin. Every one of us will, but you are going to repent of that. You're not going to live in it. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him. Whose seed? Christ's seed. And he cannot sin habitually because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Pretty plain, isn't it? Pretty stout verses for sure. But we see here, Paul Washer notes that the Scriptures deny the universal fatherhood of God. That God has taken all men to be his children. How many times have we heard that? That, well, we're all God's children. Yes, that's true in the sense of creation. You could say that. We are God's children by rights of creation. We are created by him. But really, Adam's race is divided into two categories. First of all, there are the children of the devil. That is, those who refuse God's offer of mercy and remain in their rebellion against him. They show themselves to be the children of the devil in that they what? They practice the sinful works of the Father. They lie. They cheat. They deceive. They hate. And they do this in a manner that's practicing. They're habitually doing this. And there's no repentance of this. And they're just showing and revealing the fruits of their father, the devil. And so you have the children of the devil. Then you have the children of God, those who receive God's forgiveness and adoption as sons through the atoning death of Jesus Christ. And they show themselves to be God's children, in that they practice the righteous works of their Heavenly Father. They show forth the fruit of the Spirit: peace, love, joy, happiness, or meekness, gentleness, all those things that Galatians 5:22 mentions. Those are the habitual fruits of a righteous person, one who has been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So again, there are mainly two categories of people. You are either a child of Satan or you are a child of God. Notice fallen man is also described. It says fallen man lives under the power of Satan. Fallen man lives under the power of Satan. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. It says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Speaking of Christ. Now notice the word power there. That's mentioned there in verse 18. It refers to authority, dominion, or the jurisdiction of Satan. And so to live under Satan's dominion is to live under his rule of government. That's what it means. Now notice also, it states that fallen man lives following the prince of the power of the air. Fallen man lives following Satan. Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The word following there denotes agreement. It denotes accordance and conformity. And when, again, that title, prince of the power of the air, communicates a couple of things. First of all, Satan has a measure of sovereignty over humanity. He has a measure of sovereignty over humanity. Whether you realize that or not, he does. Also, Satan is a spirit. And we've already mentioned this. He is unhindered by the material restraints that bind man. And again, because of that, his power and authority go far beyond any man today. Notice also that fallen man is caught in the snare of the devil. Fallen man is caught in the snare of the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil. Paul Washer notes that a snare or noose is a type of trap that was used in ancient times to catch birds or other animals. It was a hidden device that would entangle an animal unexpectedly and suddenly. And it serves as a perfect illustration of Satan's deadly work. Notice also, fallen man is captive to do the devil's will. Fallen man is captive to do the devil's will. And they came, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and they may come... to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And so Satan captures men in order to enslave them and then use them to carry out his will in this fallen world. And once again, it's important to note that man is not an unwilling victim of Satan. Rather, man is a law-breaking culprit who, through disobedience, has aligned himself with the devil. Now, the question is, how does Satan work among fallen man? How does he do this? How is it that he makes them his subjects and enslaves them to do his will without them even knowing it? Again, you talk to a lost person, they're going to say, no, I don't even believe in Satan. Some will even say that. I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Satan. They're certainly not going to say, yeah, Satan has me as his captive. So how is it that he makes them his subjects and enslaves them to do his bidding? Well, first of all, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan masks his true identity. He hides his true identity. We see this where Paul says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." So how does Satan make fallen man his subjects and enslaves them to do his will? By deception. By deception. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. They are deceived. And just as Paul said, therefore, it is not surprising then if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And we see this even in recent history, that countless theological errors and cults have been started by those who have discarded God's word and propagated teachings that they have supposedly received from the voice of God or visions and dreams. And they have led countless millions of souls into hell by deception. By deception. Notice, how does Satan enslave fallen men? Number two, Satan lies and he deceives. He's a liar. John 8:44, Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here, and what really enraged them is that they're thinking, hold on a second, we serve the one true God. How can you say that we're serving Satan? He goes on to say, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Revelation 12, verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, who was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." And so Jesus taught that knowledge of the truth sets men free. Therefore, it is no wonder that twisting the truth into a lie is Satan's most common and powerful weapon to bring men into slavery and death. And then notice, we'll stop here. Satan blinds men to the truth. How does Satan enslave fallen man? He blinds men to the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving." So why, when you speak to lost people and you witness to them that they cannot see their lost condition, they cannot see that they are held captive because they're not only deceived, they're not only believing a lie, but they are blinded by Satan. Satan has them bound. He has them, as we could say, with spiritual blinders on, which the only hope then in our witnessing is not found in the words that we say as much as it is found in the Holy Spirit, who is the only one who can give liberty and who can give and really set those blinded hearts free so that they can see. This blindness can only be taken away by the light of the gospel and the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. It's what it says there. It says that they were blinded The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So when we pray for our lost loved ones, our lost friends or co-workers, we need to pray that God, that you would reveal to them their deception. You'd reveal to them that they're being lied to. And Father, if you would, please remove the blindness so that they can see themselves as who they are. So why would we discuss such an issue, the enslavement of Satan? Well, I think the main reason why it's so important for us to look at this is to understand, again, the depravity and the depth of our lostness. That there is no way in and of ourselves that we have the power to free ourselves from Satan. There's no way. And if we are to be freed from Satan, Satan has to be bound, and the only person who can bind Satan is God Himself. And so it's important for us, even as believers, to be reminded how enslaved we really were and just how powerful our ruler was before Christ. And it helps us then to not only rejoice in our salvation that God has given us, but also it helps us to pray for those who are lost, who are also just as once as we were, deceived and blinded. Helps us to pray for those. Let's pray right now. Our Father, Lord, we are grateful, Lord, as we look at this topic, one that is very difficult to speak about, as certainly we don't want to see ourselves as a slave. But Father, that is the reality of every person that is born into this world. And Lord, because of the immensity of the master who owns us, who did own us, Father, we rejoice even more in the salvation that you bring to us, Lord, in setting us free from Satan. We realize that we could do nothing to free ourselves. It's all a work of grace that only you can give. And Father, we pray to that end for those to whom we know, even those who will be in the sanctuary this morning who has never been saved. Father, I pray that you would reveal to them their lost condition, that you would remove the blinders that Satan has applied to their heart so that they can see their lost condition and your holiness and also see your Son Jesus Christ as their only Savior. Father, we love you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thank you all so very much.